The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, it's time for What to Watch. I'm joined in studio by Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist and presenter of Screen Time here on News Talk, John Fardy. We start with the one that seems to be getting the most publicity, at least anyway, and a lot of public attention. In no small part, thanks to you, John, and your paleontologists away in the zoo, Jurassic World Rebirth. You've seen this, Sabrina.
I have seen it. It's 2 hours and 14 minutes, and it's the latest rebirth in the Jurassic World franchise. It was Jurassic World and Jurassic Kingdom.
Yeah, so that's the seventh iteration. So there
is it the seventh?
Yeah, there's Jurassic Park and Jurassic World are two different franchises within the same franchise.
Okay, yeah.
It's about dinosaurs.
It is about dinosaurs. Basically, what's happening in this is we have a brand new cast. So there's no Bryce Dallas Howard. There's no Chris Pratt. This time, it's 5 years after the events of Jurassic World Dominion. People aren't being nice to the dinosaurs, and they're sort of over the dinosaurs as well. They're not as excited anymore. Along comes a mad scientist played by Rupert Friend going, if we extract some of the liquid form, whatever they have in their bodies from the dinosaurs, we can use this to help people live longer, live healthier. So he comes across Scarlett Johansson and her team and says, can we go to this really dangerous place to do this mission, but it's for the good of the world, but it's Big Pharma, so I will pay you millions of dollars.
And what is Scarlett Johansson in all this?
She's the one that is trying to go and get the liquid from the dinosaurs. I'm sure there's a technical term, but we'll call
it. But is she a scientist? Is she?
No, she's not. She's not. She's
just a random punter that he finds on a street?
No, she's, do you know what? She's one of those people who go and do these missions for people. What are they called? I've lost all my words today.
A tour guide?
Good thing you're on the radio.
I know. Thank God this is pretend, yeah?
Mercenary?
A mercenary.
She's a mercenary.
Ding, ding,
excellent.
Ding.
We're getting there.
Syllabus, two words.
She is a mercenary, and so are her team, except Jonathan Bailey's character, who is a scientist. So he's employed because he knows the guy. He's a paleontologist. He's all about the dinosaurs and stuff. Madness ensues. There's this family who are on a sailing expedition, and they're sort of caught up in all of this as well. And I looked at the family and went, you're lovely, but if you weren't there, we could have eliminated like maybe 30, 40 minutes of this plot. They don't bring, yes, they bring a little thing to the story, but I think the film could have been made without the family.
It sounds tremendously silly.
It is. And I think, look, if you're into Jurassic World, Jurassic Kingdom, you're going to love this. You need, if you are a fan, you need to see it on the biggest screen possible. I saw it in IMAX. The dinosaurs are bigger and scarier than ever before. Have we seen this all before? Yes. Do we need to see it again? No.
Well, I would agree with your suggestion about going to the seeing it on the IMAX because you want to see the dinosaurs in a big screen until I read coverage of John's interview with the paleontologist who was the advisor to Jurassic Park who said essentially the dinosaurs are all wrong.
Yeah, he said they were even wrong in the first one, but I haven't seen this because I just haven't had time. The first Jurassic Park movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Like I remember sitting in a cinema seeing that T-Rex and going, oh my God, this is great. They need to stop. Like, they really do. Seven movies. Because that source, it's like Jaws. What is this movie about? It's about humans interacting with dinosaurs, right? How many times can you spin that? You can't spin it seven times. Stop, stop, stop.
Do you know what the only difference is? I do have to say, I did like this cast. I've realised that I will watch Jonathan Bailey doing everything. And I love that he is not being typecast. He can go from Bridgerton, he can go to Wicked, and he can be a mad scientist in Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. And you will watch him. He brings fun to everything he plays. He brings heart. I love seeing him and Scarlett Johansson together. There's Mahershala Ali who's in this
great
as well.
Actor, yeah.
Rupert Friend is great as the villain. There are positives, but I just think when you have a cinema masterpiece as great as Jurassic, I can't even
Park.
Remember.
Jurassic Park was the first one.
So I can't even
there's
remember.
Mercenaries in that one too.
Yeah, so, but the fact that I can't even remember because they're all getting mished and mashed into the same thing, I just think they're hurting the franchise.
Absolutely.
You're not getting much from this. But if you're a fan, go see it.
Does the first one stand up to scrutiny all these years on, do you think?
I haven't seen it in a long time. But I think so.
I rewatched it recently. And the practical effects. And it's believable as practical effects. These, from what I've seen, and I haven't seen it, but the clips, these are clearly CGI'd dinosaurs to within an inch of their lives.
But it's still incredible. You're watching it. And if you've got little ones, I wouldn't bring them because I'd say they'd be petrified.
Really?
Because the dinosaurs are massive. They're loud. they're eating people. It can be quite scary. If your little one scares easily, don't take them to
Is this on an island as well?
They go to an island.
It seems that there are a lot of lessons they should have learned from previous experience.
You think, but you know, money is the root of all evil. So when money talks, everyone goes and does what has been proven not to work, they go and do it again. If you are missing Jurassic World though and you love your dinosaurs, watch this on the IMAX, you'll enjoy it. And fun fact, Jonathan Bailey, he plays the clarinet. He went to watch them do the score.
Oh yeah.
And he actually got to play on one of the tracks in Jurassic Park, and he had a clarinet solo as well. So that's quite cool.
That strikes me as the kind of thing that you could probably get 15 minutes out of. Stars in movies, what did they're on soundtracks?
Yeah.
There has to be an item in this, John.
I can get a series out of it.
Summer's coming up. There you go.
Hearts of Darkness is one of yours, John. What's it like?
Yeah. So now, this was released in 1991. So why are we talking about it? Because there's a brand new 4K restored version coming to select cinema. So people like me, possibly Serena as well, maybe even you to a lesser extent, get very excited about stories from sets where things went a bit crazy and actors were in an advanced state of refreshment or, you know, sets blew up or whatever. Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now may be the most chaotic movie ever made. For people who don't know, it was filmed in the Philippines who were at civil war. Francis Ford Coppola borrowed helicopters off to military. They would be literally shooting scenes. A commander would show up and go, no, we need the helicopters now, and they'd leave. There was a typhoon. Harvey Keitel was fired after a week. Dennis Hopper was off his head. Marlon Brando showed up late, being paid $1 million a week, very overweight, having not read the script. It was utter chaos. What happened was, Apocalypse Now is a movie about this army general, eventually played by Martin Sheen, going to find Marlon Brando's Lieutenant Kurtz, right? And he goes slowly insane. Coppola was going slowly insane making this movie. He really was. And here's the thing, that would be in a story in of itself. But we realized in the late 80s, his wife, who was with him, Eleanor, filmed most of this. So you have, to my mind, the best making of movie ever. I only saw it 2 days ago. It is incredible. And he's sitting there with Marlon Brando going, come on, we need to... Like, it's just, you can't believe they got this footage. So this is the best making of making a movie I've ever seen. And I saw it years ago, but I watched this new version of it because I'd forgotten all about it. It's great. Now, it's only in like the IFI and a couple of places around the country, but it is worth
it. Oh, that's a shame, because that's a real streaming at home. You'd love to
see it. I'm sure it will get a streaming release soon, but I could see why they wanted to put it on a big screen, because Apocalypse Now, which is a brilliant movie, is a very cinematic movie, and even the making of it is quite cinematic with that score and all that, and those quotable lines, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, the horror, all that stuff, you know.
There's so many. Wasn't there something about, didn't Martin Sheen put his hand through a mirror or something?
Oh yeah,
something?
Like that, we didn't even, this is how chaotic it was. This, like, Martin Sheen was brought in as meant to be the most sensible one. He had a heart attack during the filming. That scene where they're trying to wake him up at the start, he was pissed out of his mind, if I can say that, at 6:30 in the evening. It was utter chaos. But what's great about it is it's all there to be seen. And the full title is Hearts of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse. And it really was. He was going insane, Coppola, by his own admission.
Can I tentatively put to both of you that the end result, while Hearts of Darkness sounds highly entertaining and I want to see it, the actual movie itself, Apocalypse Now, is terrible.
What? No. No, I vehemently
terrible
disagree.
John.
If you were not stuck,
boring,
I would leave. No, absolutely not.
Devoid of any compelling characters.
You said the same thing to me before about A Clockwork Orange.
That reminds me.
I think you hate
A Clockwork Orange.
Why does Anton hate Clockwork? And he doesn't like Star Wars, by the way.
That's true as well.
I think
you're upset, and you're upsetting me.
No, I think Anton, you and I could go to the cinema together.
Thank you, Serena. Yeah. I appreciate it. Now, to your next pick, Serena.
Okay.
Smoke?
This is really good. I have to say, I've only watched two episodes so far. It stars Taron Egerton and Journey Smollett. They play investigators. One is an arsonist investigator. That's Taron's character, Dave. And then Journey is a police investigator who's brought on to find out who is lighting, who is the arsonist behind all these fires that are happening in Southern California. This is interesting because it's based on a true story. I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it a lot because there are some twists and turns. You will find the first twist happening. So we know who the first arsonist is, and it's really interesting the way it's done, because you're actually getting to know him as a person, and you're actually starting to feel sorry for him and going, I understand why you're lighting these fires, right? So he turns into like a human, you have an attachment to him. The second arsonist, you don't know who it is until the end of the second episode. And I have to say, I wasn't surprised that it was this person. So what happens is there's still another 7 episodes after that. So you're like, how is this going to maintain my interest? Because if you know who the second arsonist is, isn't this supposed to be about finding out who it is? No, it then turns into a cat and mouse game. Like the cat knows that it's the mouse, but the mouse is thinking that it can get away with it. And how long can they go before the story is revealed? I find this, like, I don't like watching a lot of true crime series. I find them really bleak. I found this really fresh and really compelling, and I think that's because of Taron and Journey, and I want to go back and see more.
On the topic of Taron Egerton, it strikes me that his star didn't rise quite as much as it should have. He was sort of the coming thing after the Elton John biopic, and then he sort of plateaued.
I think he has the best star because he's constantly working, constantly doing films, doing TV, but he's not this superstar where he can't live his life. So he's getting paid the good bucks, constantly working, making great stuff like this, but not having to deal with all the fandom that comes with.
Oh, so you're going so far as great. This counts as great?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Does
okay.
it at any point use Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire? No, I'm serious, no?
I don't know. I've only seen 2 episodes. It'll be interesting to see if it does.
Might be a little off colour, perhaps, but...
Beat the lotto, John.
Yeah, so Ross Whittaker is one of Ireland's great, I believe he was on Moncrief earlier, one of Ireland's great documentary makers. He made Unbreakable, the Mark Pollock story, the Katie Taylor documentary. You may remember in the mid-90s when the lotto was not long established, they came up, this gang of people, with a number cruncher at its source. A way to beat the lotto, as the name suggests, where they could figure it out with the amount of numbers they have. I'm no mathematician, but there was a way that you could buy a ticket with every or nearly every conceivable.
Wasn't it because they did a guaranteed win for 3? Yeah. There was some wrinkle to it for
and
that one.
And also, if you got 4 numbers, there was £100. So if you bought enough to cover every possible spread, you would still make enough money back. This is told like a heist. How you got these? This was like the... This is 92, forgive me, but it was right before the Celtic Tiger came into bloom. It's a different time. It was a fascinating tale. Our own Pat Kenny is front and centre because much of this played out on Kenny Live. I thought this was a brilliant watch. As I say, it's a real kind of a heist movie about the lotto.
On where, by the way?
It's cinemas.
It's so good because it's the way that they use the archival footage. Yeah. Then you've got Pat Kenny doing like a piece to camera, and then you've also got reenactments, and you're just in it, and you don't know, again, who's the villain, who's the hero. And it's just, it's so, so good. And I think it's because we all want to win the lotto, don't we?
And it's a great story. I mean, it's just the core material is so good. Yeah. Wrap us up then with The Traitors on RTE Player.
Just really quickly, The Traitors is coming, The Irish Traitors is coming to RTE in, I think, the autumn with Siobhan McSweeney,
Siobhan
McSweeney's going to be heading it. So what RTE have done is they've gone and put on The Player, Traitors Season 1 from the UK, Traitors Season 1 from the US, and Traitors Australia Season 1. So if you want to get your fix of Traitors from around the world, it's all available there for you to binge now on The Player.
I feel I get abused for this, but I'll do it nonetheless. What's The Traitors?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, you explain it.
No, you explain it.
I haven't seen it.
No, you hang up. One of you is explaining it.
I watched the first episode ages ago and wasn't into it the way.
But is that like, is it a documentary? Is it reality TV?
It's reality TV.
Okay. Right?
So you have all these contestants are brought to a castle and they are told some of them are, I don't know what the faithful. Some of them are faithful, some of them are traitors. They have to figure out who is the traitor. And then at the end of each episode, so they're given missions, they vote someone off. No,
people sounds like Lost meets Love Island.
No, people are really, really into this. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's good. Look at Citizen Kane.
Dear.
Here we go.
That's 4 one thing. You know?
Should we wrap now?
Pretty
soon. Anyway, maybe you should watch one of these on the RTE. Do you know what? I'd say go with the UK one because Claudia Winkleman is amazing.
I find her hair frustrating.
I'm actually holding up.
Look at this. If only you could see it, listeners.
And if only you could see his tan as well.
before this gets any more painful, Serena, thank you so much. John, likewise.
I think you wanted to ask me quickly what was on screen time this week.
Yes, I did. It just slipped my mind.
No, the reason why I keep talking about it is Jim Sheridan came into studio and talked to me for a long time about lots of things, including his fascinating new film, which is a recreation of the trial of Ian Bailey.
Very interesting. Look forward to that, John. Thank you, John Fardy, entertainment journalist, producer here, and of course, the host of Screen Time here on News Talk, Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.